Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. Liverpool just beaten Red Star by 4-0. I'm joined by Will of LFC Focus YouTube channel. Will, that was a thoroughly enjoyable evening at Anfield.
I was just saying on the post-match reaction video I did, you can't really have any complaints whatsoever about that game, to be honest. I think everything that we were hoping for going in, you know, goals, we want to see the team click, we want to see Fabinho put in a fantastic form, so I'm sure we'll come on to all of those things later. But just thoroughly enjoyable evening, like you said, a great night.
Where were you sat?
I was sat in the away end, which was weird. And I don't know if I mentioned, there were some Red Star fans that actually sort of gave themselves away with about 15 minutes to go. And
that's what was going on in that back corner,
was it? That
was
what was going on in the big corner. Well, all the stewards started getting up and making a bit of a hubbub. So had a bit of a sing-off. Round of applause to each other afterwards. It was all very nice, really. No trouble whatsoever.
The atmosphere to me, I was sat in the cop. I was in 304 in the cop, and it felt really strange to me. And subdued, certainly. It felt like we needed, to be honest with you, I felt like Red Star needed to score to give us a bit of an impetus to start singing along and stuff. But what was it like down the other end?
Down the other end, it wasn't that bad, because thing is, obviously, I wasn't on the cop, so everyone sat down. You're sort of not expecting it to be that great, so I was sort of taking any little sing-song that we could get, really. But it was a pretty decent atmosphere, obviously, especially in the first half, because we had everyone right in front of us, so we could see it all unfold. And no, I really enjoyed the experience. Like I was saying, the last game I came to was League Cup, and the atmosphere was just non-existent in that, so I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go on to the footy then. And Klopp lines the team up in a 4-2-3-1 with Wijnaldum and Fabinho as the two. Surprised me to see Firmino in the 10 and Shaqiri on the right-hand side. I thought Shaqiri was going to be in the middle in this game.
Well, I thought it was dead interesting. Obviously, we've seen Shaqiri in that kind of midfield role in the past, and I think he looked very good in that in the game against Huddersfield. But I think the thing that Klopp's trying to do there is to make it more unpredictable. I think you were saying on your post-match reaction show, like, it makes it so difficult to mark players like Firmino. And you had Mane dropping back and playing alongside Wijnaldum and Fabinho at times as well. And obviously, Salah goes down the middle, and we've vindicated in that, because he ends up getting 2 goals, which will no doubt boost his confidence no end, especially after he got the goal at the weekend as well. So it definitely worked, and I think it's something we saw around this time last season as well. He started doing a little 4-2-4 because we weren't getting the amount of goals that we wanted and the attack wasn't quite clicking. I think it just comes down to trying a couple of different things that makes it more difficult for opposition managers to work us out and also revitalises the team a little bit.
That's it. And this Liverpool side, it looked to me like what I was really impressed with first half, and I don't know whether you agree with this, but we had that thing where we go slow, slow, fast.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're labouring on the ball and we're passing the ball side to side and we're not really going anywhere and boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
We're fucking in and we've got a shot on your goal and you don't know it's about to happen because you're just thinking, oh, we're moving side to side.
Yeah, exactly.
We're moving a little bit of side to side and then, what the fuck's going on? How the fuck did they get behind us there?
And the important thing is everyone was doing it at the same time as well. There have been too many times this season where one player's decided, like, right, I'm going to go now, I'm going to make something happen, and no one else realises they're going to do it and it just looks a little bit messy and a little bit jammy. But what happened tonight with that kind of front four with Firmino, Salah, Shaqiri and Mane was when one of them went, they all went, and Wijnaldum and Fabinho were looking for them as well at the right kind of times. And you saw even the centre-backs, when they wanted to press, when they wanted to suddenly make things happen, they just fly out from their positions and win the ball back, and Red Star just couldn't cope with it because by the time they clocked what was going on, they already had like 4 players in behind them. Liverpool were getting shots off and stuff like that, so it felt like a proper team performance tonight, and that's not something we've really had from Liverpool over the last couple of games. So definitely some positive signs there.
Oh mate, there's so many many positive signs there. I think that one of the ones that probably won't be talked about too much, but I'm going to talk about it now, is the performance of Andy Robertson. And what I mean by that is, listen, everybody knows he has a good game. He always has. Most of the time he has a good game. But for me, last couple of games, there's been a little bit of a dip in his attacking side of things. And I don't know whether that's a consequence of playing the likes of Napoli and Manchester City and your Chelsea's and all that. And maybe just asking him to sit a little bit deeper and making sure, you know, we don't concede anything or whatever. But this time, he got on the front foot. He got down that wing. He gets the assist for Roberto Firmino. And you're thinking to yourself, do we play better when Andy Robertson's on form?
Yeah.
Is he the most important player in an attacking sense for Liverpool Football Club?
I think certainly in games like tonight, because what you need is you need to attack from multiple angles. So it's all well and good having that front four that are interchanging and playing down the middle. But if you're playing against a side that against Red Star, that, you know, the first thing they're going to try and set up to do is not get humiliated like they did in that 6-1 game against PSG. So you need to be attacking from different angles, and Andy Robertson really gave us that tonight. And obviously he always does the defensive work fantastically, but it is important to think about his attacking contribution. And his delivery as well was absolutely fantastic. It had pace, it was putting Red Star on the back foot and causing problems for them, and it meant that all those players who were playing in that front four, they were getting the delivery they needed to try and create chances in the box. So I thought, yeah, Andy Robertson was absolutely ace and possibly a man of the match today as well.
Oh, mate, yeah, for me, another guy that I want to talk about is Fabinho. We knew coming into this game that it was likely that he was going to start, and you look at it and you think to yourself, the pace, this might suit Fabinho. This might be better for him. Yeah. Get him integrated into this side. Get him used to playing alongside someone. I think it was a stroke of genius to play him alongside somebody and not that six on his own. But then what happens is when they're attacking... when they're attacking, Fabinho showed his worth. We haven't got a player like Fabinho in a defensive sense in a midfield who can make a tackle like that. 7 of 9 tackles successful tonight.
Yeah.
You don't see Liverpool players making tackles. Jordan Henderson doesn't make tackles. He relies on his ability to read the game, try and intercept the ball. Fabinho stands up there, long leg out, gets the ball, and we're starting. But it's not just that, it was his passing. It was a superb performance from him there, wasn't it?
Well, the thing is, he did what Klopp wants from a number six, and I feel like the problem was earlier on in pre-season, everything like that, he was doing things that maybe another manager might want from their defensive midfielder. But the thing that Klopp wants is he wants someone who not just can read the game but can charge forward. And you saw a couple of times, and I think his confidence was something that really stood out today, especially for someone who's been in and out of the side an awful lot and hasn't necessarily got, he's got the backing from the manager. He's got the backing from the manager to come good eventually, but the manager's basically said that he's not quite ready yet. No, I thought he played with great confidence, and he gets in those kind of fouls that you want from your defensive midfielder occasionally, the kind of thing that Lucas Leiva did, where Red Star, they could have had a couple of counter-attacks tonight, they could have caught us out a few times, but what happens is Fabinho just dives in, nearly gets the ball, so the referee thinks, oh, it's fine, it's not a yellow card or anything, but he does chop him down, he does slow that counter-attack down, so I thought Fabinho dead good tonight.
But I just want to draw attention to how much of a consummate professional Will is here. You won't hear it because our mics are dead good. There is literally someone screaming from a car down there. You can just about see him. Absolutely superb. And it's so difficult to carry on talking when someone's screaming down your ear. And I'm having to do it now, to be perfectly honest with you. But Will did absolutely brilliantly there. So well played to you,
mate. Thank you.
Okay, one of the things I want to talk about, and I can't believe I've not mentioned this in my post-match, and maybe you mentioned it in yours, fellow FC Focus, but the referee. I mean... if there's ever a reason away fans are allowed in a ground, maybe today would be the example, because I'm not sure how Mane gets a penalty first and foremost.
Yeah.
He's just running around, and then all of a sudden he's on the floor. He's like, oh no, you hit me in the face. It's fine.
There's that weird moment where everyone, I think, behind the cop and all around the ground, you kind of do that sort of half-assed appeal where you're like, oh, come on, ref. And then everyone sits back down. They think he's never given that. And suddenly he blows his whistle. He's like, yeah, fine, have it. And it was just a bit bananas. And I think the one that looked the most like a penalty, and because I was in that away end back in Annie Road, I couldn't really tell if any of them were penalties, to be perfectly honest. But the one that looked most like the penalty was the one that he didn't give.
Yes.
And I think the third one, whether he's got someone in his ear saying, you've been cocking these up here, so just give it a rest, or whether he's just thought, I can't give 3 in 1 game or anything like that. But yeah, that one was the one that looked most like a penalty, but you know, 4-0, I'm fine with it.
Who was the guy, Tom, who was the guy who got side down? Was it Wijnaldum or was it Mane or something like that? And you're thinking to yourself, what's this lad doing? He's gone through the back of him. Admittedly, he does get the ball, but he takes the man in a sliding tackle first. Maybe it was Mane then, Tom's saying, and I'm like, what are you doing? That referee didn't have a fucking clue, a Scooby-Doo, what was going on there. And you know, I kind of felt a little bit sorry for Red Star, but then I was reminded that they had a goalkeeper wearing the number 82, and this shit doesn't piss me off normally. But number 82 for a goalkeeper one, and a striker wearing 99 and a centre back wearing 77.
Oh,
what? And he didn't cap the goal. He didn't know what was going on there. He was trying to find a ball to bounce. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to help him second half. Did it help you, mate? Did it help you? No, it didn't help you. You know why? Because you wear number 82 on the back and you're playing for Edgar and you shit. That might come back to bite me on the arse next week in a couple of weeks' time. Who were some of the standout performers that we haven't talked about for you then, Will?
Well, I think Wijnaldum alongside Fabinho, you know, and like you said, it's very clever playing him in that too, because it just takes a little bit of a burden off Fabinho. And also, Wijnaldum's played so good in that defensive role, you almost don't want to waste him going forward, and you also don't want him sort of getting in the way of players like Shaqiri and stuff like that. But I thought the thing with Wijnaldum now is that we're just so used to those fantastic performances from him. We're used to him being one of the best defensive midfielders in the world at the moment. I'm not going to say in general, because obviously it's only been a few months or something like that. But I mean, he's been playing incredibly well, and he does everything, again, that Klopp wants from his defensive midfielders. You want them to be busy, bustling about, always getting the ball, always looking to play it forward as well and start attacks and stuff like that. So, no, I thought Wijnaldum was absolutely fantastic, and there's a very good partnership there between him and Fabinho that I would quite like to see again in
absolutely
the next few games.
Absolutely, like another guy who's come into the side last couple of weeks, brought in the summer, Jadon Shaqiri. I mean, he gets an assist for Mo Salah again. Yeah. Lovely little flick. And he's involved in the build-up play. Somebody else tries to flick it to Shaqiri a little bit earlier on, but he gets that ball from Wijnaldum, flicks that into Mo Salah, touch later, it's on his right foot, back in the net, and you're thinking to yourself, that's absolutely superb by Shaqiri again. He's the guy who plays Andrew Robertson in, Robertson to cross to Firmino as well. And he's able to play that right-hand side, but do what Mo Salah has been able to do and do what Mane's able to do on the other side, and that's float across the line, find those little pockets of space, look for them, find them. But his final ball, that's what's really impressed me over the last couple of weeks. He's a much better player than I thought when I was watching him for Stoke.
Well, I mean, in the last couple of games, it almost feels like over the international break, Klopp's basically sat him down and made him watch some videotapes of Oxlade-Chamberlain last season, because Oxlade-Chamberlain is the thing that I think we've all said we're missing at the moment. We're missing a link between that midfield and that attack. And I was thinking about how we're not getting the best out of Salah, and you think Ox got five assists for Salah last season. He clearly knows the best way to get the best out of Salah, and I think Salah needs someone who's just behind him, who's always going to charge forward with the ball and then pick out those mad runs that Salah makes into the box that are going to give him goal scoring chances. So I think Shaqiri has basically just been doing that kind of thing where he's always looking to try and find forward passes. He's looking for the most direct route to goal as well, and you know, we haven't quite seen his end product yet in terms of goals, because he hasn't scored like a competitive one, obviously the bicycle kicker against Manchester United, which we all enjoyed very much. But no, I think he's really, really coming on, and a big compliment you can pay him is that he doesn't look out of place tonight, because that is basically Liverpool's first team. And when Shaqiri came in, you were expecting him to be a bit part player, someone who would come on as a sub, play in the League Cup. You weren't thinking when we play our strongest 11, Shaqiri would play in it and fit into it well and look like he fits in, and you know, he doesn't look like the odd one out there. So I thought Shaqiri was absolutely fantastic today, and another player who you look at and you think, actually, I want to see an awful lot of you over the next few games.
And that's great, isn't it? And it's in stark contrast to what we were probably thinking during the international break with the injuries that we were picking up and stuff, and you're thinking, where are these goals going to come from? Is the front three going to start firing? You've kind of pinpointed this game, I think every Liverpool fan did after the weekend, and gone, is this the game where the front three click? And Jürgen's found a way to get all of them to get a goal tonight.
All of them got on the score sheet, which is incredibly important. Yeah.
That's important, isn't it? You know, Salah takes that little bit of confidence from scoring in two games on the bounce, three goals in two games. Firmino gets a goal as well. Mane obviously gets one, but misses the pen. But good that he gets it after the fact and stuff. So absolutely superb. And we're in a strong position in the group as well. I think, you know, Napoli, PSG have just drawn, probably the best result for us there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, like you were saying, mathematically, I think we need to beat Red Star and probably beat PSG in our next game, or not beat them. Napoli at Anfield, and we're almost definitely through. So it does feel like we're in pole position now. I think that this double header against Red Star is obviously so important. Again, it happened last season with Maribor, where our other two rivals in the group, who we were worried would leapfrog us, they played each other while we got to just put absolutely snot Maribor in two games. So hopefully we can do the same thing against Red Star in the away game. I think that one is going to be so much more difficult, because it's all about the atmosphere. You think about how Napoli went there and ended up drawing 0-0, and we all know now after playing them that Napoli are a pretty decent side. So that's going to be incredibly difficult, and I think it'll also be interesting to see how Klopp sets us up. I don't think it'll be quite as attacking. I think maybe we do go back to the 4-3-3 for that game, but I think the fact that we've got the all of the front three firing now, and all of them look like players who are now capable of changing a game. You know, if we started one of them against Cardiff, you wouldn't be worried, and you think, I'd rely on him to get the goal that changes the game for Liverpool. So we are putting ourselves in a better position now, and yeah, I think we'll be absolutely fine.
Well, there you go,
that's our
instant match reaction. We both think we're going to be absolutely fine to get out of the group. Two big games upcoming though. Stick with the channel. like the video, subscribe to the Red Men TV on YouTube. Let us know your thoughts of that game in the comments section below. Don't forget to check out LFC Focus Will's channel as well. And we'll see you next time on the Red Men TV. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.